Abba Hardweber, really weird stuff. And it was cool because no one would say, don't play that, because no one's going to listen. In fact, I hoped I got people listen. That's what college radio is about. You're free form. Now, it is true that years later, I got to San Francisco, and I was on public radio as a mild-mannered news reporter, like Jimmy Olsen on Superman, on public radio and with my name, David Brancaccio. But on the weekends, I had a fake name, Metro Dave, and I was on the super cool rock station in San Francisco, KFOG 104.5. They had a format, so it wasn't as free form as college radio, but they weren't bad. They had 30,000 songs that you could choose from.
Oh, that
and so that's not bad. That was
so you
like,
still kind of had you were still kind of allowed to choose.
Yeah, I couldn't pick weird jazz stuff though. It was classic rock station, famous classic rock station in Northern California.
So can you tell us, you know, since you've done it all, basically, do you want to give us some words of advice? Yeah. Share something with us?
For all of you interested in college radio because you're listening right now, for all of you who are participating in college radio, everyone will tell you there are no jobs ever to have in these cool fields. Mm-hmm. You'll never get jobs. There's three jobs a year. Why don't you study something where there are more jobs? Do not listen to that. Mm-hmm. If you have passion, if you're really interested, there are jobs for you because passion is hard to find. Mm-hmm. We've all had this. We've all had people around us tell us, sell us short. Mm-hmm. Oh, you'll never be able to get into that college, or you'll never be able to get a show on the college station, or you'll never be able to get a career. I just never listened to anybody when they said you wouldn't be able to do that. And because passion counts for so much. The other thing, by the way, that counts for a lot is you do have to shower occasionally. You should not drink to excess. And if you show up on time, that's three things that do also will lead to work in your life. So that's my advice.
Shower, punctuality,
yes.
And?
Don't drink to excess.
You are listening to College Radio Day. This special simulcast was produced by Rob Quick and Peter Creighton with the help of college radio stations throughout the country. We would also like to take this moment to thank our sponsors for this event. BMI, Brave New Radio, Button Punks, CBI, Comrex, Emissions Analytics, Hindenburg Systems, IBS, Jaeger Lumber, Music Master, NACC, Radio Free America, Radio FX, Real World, Spinitron, Telos Alliance, WMSC, and WSOU. I'm Len O'Kelly, thanking you for listening to this special broadcast and wishing you a happy College Radio Day. For more information about College Radio Day, please visit the website of the College Radio Foundation, www.collegeradio.org.
Hi, this is Mike Holloway, host of the Go With The Flow Mike Holloway Show. College radio means to me the freedom to play what we want to without any required playlist. I get to play what I want to, when I want to, and that means the world to me. My main criteria is I like to play the music that I like to dance to.
This is Jonathan, host of Songwriter Symposium. To me, college radio means that there is a place on the airwaves where music that is really good, but outside of the mainstream, can still be heard, and where local artists can get the airplay that they deserve. So thanks for listening to WHFR, and thanks for supporting independent music.
Tune in to WHFR.FM 89.3 for the Highway 61 program. Fridays 2 till 4, DJ Kitty Love will play the best in blues with new blues releases, as well as local blues artists. Friday 2 till 4 on the station Making Waves, WHFR.
The following edition of the new WHFR Journal has been pre-recorded and edited for time and for content. Enjoy.
Welcome to the new WHFR Journal. I'm Susan McGraw, along with Alan Mazurek. We are recorded today to come to you this Friday, and we are looking forward to a wonderful weekend filled with lots of excitement, activities going on, and so much more. But I want to talk to you about some specific things on today's show. Alan, and welcome. Happy Friday
to
you.
Hi there. Nice to see you again.
We want to mention that we're going to talk politics a little bit later with the Dearborn Council candidate. We're also going to talk sports, as we have been the past few weeks, local sports, as well as an opportunity for our students to get involved in a job search forum with the friends from the Career Services Office here on our campus. So lots of information. When we talk about things going on in the city, though, I always like to sort of grab the Times Herald, the Press and Guide, and just kind of browse through what's going on. And I think there's sort of been a resurgence in bikers and bicyclists and the need for bike safety. We've got this new bike sharing program here in the community and so much more. And I think the nice weather's helped, too, because I have seen more people on bicycles these past couple of weeks than I would ever in the month of late September, October.
Last week we talked about the bike event that was going on at Fort Field there, working the loop around by the Henry Ford property. And yes, there the city council... last week, I guess it was, at their weekly meeting, they approved a safety ordinance that requires drivers to give 5 feet of space to bikers when passing them on the road. Now, if you do bike and bike on busy streets, obviously this is something that you deal with pretty much every minute of every day as you're driving down a street. As a driver... it's very easy to say, well, just get over to the shoulder. But I think that we all sort of need to learn how to share the road, right?
Well,
isn't that what we're looking at?
It is. It's frustrating on both sides of things and can be kind of scary. With this new, the passing of this new law, this new bill, will there be different markings like on the roadways, or will it just be sort of a given you have to sort of move over a little bit when somebody is on the bike?
Well, it's going to require drivers to maintain a specific distance whenever they're overtaking or passing a bicycle, whatever direction they're coming on, I guess. Any person who violates the rule can be given a civil infraction. So I guess you could, if you don't allow a minimum of 5 feet to move around a cyclist, theoretically, you could be pulled over and given a citation for doing it. The ordinance itself says... and on this is where I'll put the quote marks in, because I'm reading from the ordinance's language here. It says that when overtaking or passing a person operating a bicycle proceeding in the same direction. Oh, that's an interesting thing to know. All right. The driver of a motor vehicle shall exercise due care and may only overtake or pass a bicyclist when there is a safe distance, which shall minimally require allowing the bicyclist at least 5 feet operation between the right side of the driver's vehicle, including their mirrors, other projections. So if you're pulling a trailer that's wider than your vehicle, 5 feet from the width of the trailer, and the left side of a bicyclist at all times. So it seems pretty specific in terms of being able to give them enough room to ride as a cyclist, and still making sure that you can drive safely as a motorist, right?
Yeah, I can think of a scenario, actually, and it happens, maybe it's happened to you, where you see the bicyclist on your right and you're slowing down because there they are and you want to give them space, but you're slowing down so much because they're not going very fast.
Correct.
And then the people behind you start to get mad, and then you start this whole backup. But if people in oncoming traffic are not giving you space where you can safely navigate around to give them, the bicyclist, that 5 feet, you're kind of stuck there a little bit.
Right.
But this really sounds like this bill is actually really on the side of the bicyclist, in theory. In a good way.
And theoretically, if you're in a 3,000-pound vehicle, you tend to have the advantage over somebody on a 40-pound bicycle and whatever their weight is. There's an inherent advantage that's built in there. But the law says, and always has said, that cyclists, just like motorcyclists and vehicles, have to share the road. And I think that's different than navigating, bike lanes and how you turn with bike lanes and all of that other stuff. So it is interesting, and it's part of trying to build a healthy city that people can move around in a variety of different ways, whether it's a car, whether it's a bicycle, or whether it's a motorcycle, scooter, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Rollerblades, I think you have to stay on the sidewalk.
Well, thank goodness. Did you ever see me on rollerblades? I'm a maniac. To stay away, for sure. So ultimately, the bicyclist has the ability to be there, but drivers can pass. They just have to pass as long as they're making sure that they've got that extra 5 feet so that the bicyclist isn't harmed or potentially, you know, threatened in any way. And I think that makes good sense.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, the whole idea is to make sure that everybody is safe, because even as a driver, you don't want to be put into a situation where, you know, you've caused an accident, which could cause, you know, a serious injury to somebody who is not as protected as you are. But also the fact that everyone needs to recognize that we're sharing the road. I'm sure that most bicyclists, you know, most cyclists know that safety-wise, they're at a bit of a disadvantage to a certain extent. And maybe this helps make them feel a little more secure, knowing that they've got some protection. And I'm sure, you know, the idea of the ordinance is one thing, but in order for people to understand it, to put it into practice, for it to be enforced, it just becomes a new normal for those of us who have to share the roads with each other.
Yeah, makes sense. Please wear a bike helmet, especially if you're going to be on the road.
That.
Oh,
yeah, right.
My goodness. Yeah, I mean, I could see going from your house to your friend's house, six houses down or two blocks away on the side streets. That's bad enough, not wearing a helmet. But oh my gosh, if you've got these motor vehicles that Ellen talked about, 30,000 pounds or whatever, and they're whizzing by you, oh my goodness, 5 feet, I don't care, wear a helmet, please.
And again, here on the new WHFR Journal, the opinions that you hear are you know, those of the hosts and anchors and the guests, not necessarily those of Henry Ford College and its Board of Trustees.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah. My side, maybe I mentioned a week or two ago, my son bikes like crazy on his college campus, which is far away, and it's bicyclists like crazy, very few cars, but their thing is they have bike people accidents quite a bit, and because you just, everybody's whizzing around, and I cannot get the kid to wear a helmet. It's driving me crazy. But as a mother, I want him to be safe, of course, but it's one of those things. I guess it's a culture, I suppose. But speaking of culture, let's shift gears a little bit. The title is Let's Go Home, and this is the 17th annual Black Tie and Tails Gala Benefit for MetroDetroitAnimals.org, and this is the former Dearborn Animal Shelter, and they're trying to make some money so they can finish. We've had the groundbreaking recently, and they want to finish up this new home for the animals in our community, in the Dearborn community, until they hopefully get a new home, and maybe that's in your home eventually down the road. But ultimately, Black Tie and Tails is a tradition here in this community. It's a wonderful event. It takes place Friday the 27th at the Dearborn Inn of October. If you're interested in more information, you can go to metrodetroitanimals.org/black tie. A beautiful event. They often will have a few animals there, and it's just the sweetest, most exciting thing. There are ticket prices, of course, but you can be a sponsor. You can come in as a guest. You can just come in for dinner, whatever the case may be. But more information, metrodetroitanimals.org/black tie. That is going to be here before you know it.
Excellent. Anything else going on?
So many things, actually. I think that we want to make sure that we have enough time for our guests in today's program, but some things from the city of Dearborn as it relates to some of their duties. I've had the pleasure of communicating with Mary Landroche, who works out of the Office of Public Information, and, you know, that woman's, her job is never done, and there's so many different exciting things that are going on through the city. We're going to be doing a taping with CDTV coming here next week at our radio station, in fact, and we appreciate that. But also just understanding some of the things, some of the services that are available and so on. As we talk about press releases and managing and providing content for social media and so on, if you'd like to get more information on that, it is through the Office or Department of Public Information. And we certainly want to make sure that you know, if you want to learn more about what's happening in our community, there are ways to do so. Start with the City of Dearborn website and take it from there. Certainly anything going on in our community here at Henry Ford College, it is hfcc.edu.
The new WHFR Journal continues in just a couple of moments. We've got our first guest coming up. talking about a great big event coming up here on campus.
Yes, Chad Austin will be joining us in just a few minutes, and he represents the Career Services Office. They've got their big Career Expo coming up. Pay attention. This could be your lucky day.
We'll be back in just a minute.
The WHFR Annual Record Show is just around the corner, and we are accepting applications for vendors. Our 10th Annual Record Show is taking place on Saturday, October 21st, on the campus of Henry Ford College, and this is your chance to be part of it. If you're a vendor selling tapes, CDs, or vinyl records, or if you have other related items such as memorabilia or handcrafted goods, then you too can set up a shop for a day at this very popular and well-attended event. All the information, including a copy of the vendor contract, is available on our website, whfr.fm. Just click on the record show icon for all the information. If you have any questions, you can email us at whfr@hfcc.edu. The WHFR Annual Record Show is Saturday, October 21st, so reserve your vendor table now.
Thanks for staying with us. This is the new WHFR Journal, Henry Ford College's own take on what's happening in our own community, our own backyard, and the Dearborn community at large. We are excited, so excited about the 6th annual Career Expo taking place on our campus on Thursday, October 12th, next Thursday, and it's an afternoon filled with opportunity. That's the way I look at it. And from our wonderful Career Services Office, we have Chad Austin, Career Services Officer, here to talk about this event. Chad, you're no stranger to these airwaves. We've talked about the Expo in the past, and it's been a rousing success in the past. What's going to be so amazing about the 6th annual Career Expo that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm always excited to be here, and I always am looking for a great opportunity to promote the Expo. It is the biggest event we do every year. This year's Expo will be housed in the gymnasium for the first time. It's a chance for us to try a new location on campus, a bigger location. And usually what we run into when we have it in various locations on campus is we actually have to cap the number of employers simply because we ran out of space. That won't be the case this year. The gymnasium's large. It's open. It's going to be a great opportunity for us to have as many employers as possible. So we've already blown past 85. We're heading towards 90. My hope is that by next Thursday, we're close to right around 100 employers on campus looking to recruit our students and alumni and the general public.
That's a good round number, 100, don't you think?
If we can get there, that's the hope.
That's a good goal. Ellen, have you had the pleasure of participating in any of the Career Expos, walking through the events in previous years? You might have done it and not even quite realized what you were walking through here on our campus. So it's certainly exciting to look at.
Yeah, I have seen it walking around campus when it's happened before. I think it's kind of interesting, especially this time of year, where obviously we've had a beautiful week weather-wise to be able to have it in a large space and be able to have so many employers that are coming in. From what I've seen, it's a great opportunity for students and for the general public to be able to, you know, find what is the next chapter in their lives, right?
Couldn't agree more. We have so many employers that come in, and they're looking for so many different types of jobs to fill. We have people that are looking for part-time, full-time, seasonal work. So if you're out there, if you're looking for a job, it's not a case where you have to say, well, I'm a graduate or I'm close to graduating. At any point in your college career, come down to the Expo. There are employers that need help, and they want to offer you great jobs. And we promote our HFC students. We promote what they have to offer, and we want the employers to see that.
What are some of the basic details that we need to know if we want to participate as a potential employee of one of these companies?
Absolutely. Well, first things first, it's from 3 to 6 in the gymnasium building H on main campus. So you'll see a lot of signs directing you to that throughout the campus. We'll be the ones that'll be sidewalk chalking all leading up to that. So all you got to do is follow the arrows on the ground. The other important thing to remember is to get into the Career Expo, you have to be dressed professionally. We are very proud of our students and our alumni, and we want them to be showcased in the best possible light. As to that point, we always make sure that our dress code is enforced. So if you show up wearing you know, jeans that got some holes in them, or if you're showing up with a t-shirt that's got the name of a rock band on it, we're probably not going to let you in. We want you to put your best foot forward with these employers, so we do enforce that dress code. I've been called names in the past for that. I've been yelled at, but I stand by the fact that if you want to look good and get a job, you need to represent yourself in the best possible light. So that's one of them. So that's a big part of what we do. We also have some great opportunities once you're in the expo. Of course, we want you to network with employers. We want you to make those connections, bring your resume, pass it out, talk with employers, make some solid connections, and then follow up with them. But we also have the opportunity for you to go in and get your headshot taken professionally. You know, so much of what is being done as far as networking these days is done online. And a great resource for that is LinkedIn, which is a professional networking platform that's available. And quite often when you see folks on there, they'll have a headshot where they're half their face is cut off, or it's, you know, it's them and someone else, and they cut that person out, and it just doesn't look very professional. So what we do is we actually hire a photographer to come in. They set up shop right there in the expo, and they give you free headshots that you can then be emailed to you, and you can have a nice professional headshot for your LinkedIn page.
Nice. That's definitely new this year. Yes,
we've done it in the past, and every year we get more and more people taking advantage of it. I think it's ramping up in popularity quite a bit.
Good to know. Yeah, I don't recall that from last time, so that's exciting. In terms of opportunity for students coming in and potentially making that love connection, as we call it, with that employer, we've heard stories that there are students that are actually, and former students, that are getting literally hired on the spot.
Yes, there are certain areas in the job market where the need is so great. So if you're one of those lucky students to have the skill set that an employer is looking for, that an employer has a significant need, it's entirely possible that they could offer you a job right there on the spot. We've had on-the-spot interviews before. We've had employers say, hey, you know, if you want to work for me, send me your contact information. I'll have you working by the end of the week. And that's something we're really proud of. There are certain needs that are out there that, this, you know, if an employer has that need, we want them to be able to hire our students right there on the spot. So it's a great chance. It's a great opportunity for our students, and we're pretty excited about it.
Nice. So again, open to the student population, both present students and alumni. People in the outside Dearborn community, what happens if they pop in?
Well, you know, this is one of those things that we always go back and forth on every year, but ultimately Henry Ford College is part of the Dearborn community. It's part of the Detroit community, so we don't turn anyone away. We will ask you at the door if you're a student, if you're an alum, or if you're a member of the general public, but everyone's admitted. We want that to be for everyone. So clearly we're hoping our students show up. We're hoping our alumni take advantage. But if you're just a member of the general community, you need a job, stop by the Career Expo on the 12th. We're there for you too.
Excellent. So 3 until 6 p.m. No pre-registration of sorts necessarily?
Not at all. Okay. We're having one event leading up to it. We're actually having an employer panel on the 10th. We're really excited about that. We're having some of our folks that are on our advisory committee come in, talk about what they look for at a job fair, and talk about what students can do to set themselves apart in a positive way. So we're excited about that, but that's the only event we have leading up to it. Once you're there, it's just show up at the door. We're going to check in and then send you in there to do some work and hopefully find a great job.
Okay, great. We have had clothing drives on our campus for professional attire kind of a thing. I know I've contributed. You put on a few pounds. You don't fit in some of the stuff anymore. And it's like, why torture yourself with it? So anyway, I know people on campus have made donations and so on. Is that available, or will that stuff be available for people that are hearing you say no t-shirt and like, oh shoot, it's what I was planning on wearing, so now what do I do? Is there a resource right now?
Absolutely, and it's called our Suit Up program. We're very proud of that, and again, it's all funded through donations. It's a great program. We've had tremendous response from the HFC faculty and the community. We have suits for both men and women. We have shoes. We don't have a lot of shirts, but we do have, you know, pants, jackets, things like that, professional suits, and it's free of charge. If you show that you are an HFC student, you have access to that service. You can stop by our office. You can stop by during the day of the event. You can try something on. If it fits, take it with you and wear it. We want our students to look good for this event.
If it doesn't make it work, right?
If it doesn't make it work, yeah. Cinch that belt up. And now, the one thing I will say is that it's one rack of clothing, and I know that one rack of clothing can't possibly encompass all the different body sizes that are out there and fashion choices, things of that nature. So again, with professional dress, it all comes down to planning. You want to get your suit out. You want to check it out early. You want to try it on over the weekend. If you can't find something that works for you in your closet, come talk to us. We've got a lot of resources in the Dearborn and Detroit community that can help you get a suit for very, very little money, down to no money. So we're pretty proud of that and what we can provide students. If, again, they take some time to do some planning. Right. Day of, it's going to be whatever you can find. Make it work. But of course, a little bit of planning goes a long way.
Right. And again, as long as the student is looking presentable and appropriate, if they don't have the whole suit, but they have the shirt and the tie, or they have the skirt or the blazer, that works.
Yeah, we're not looking for, you know, Saks Fifth Avenue clothing here. If you're clean, if you're well pressed, if you're neat, we're going to do everything in our power to let you in. But, you know, jeans are kind of a no-no. It should be slacks. It should be a skirt. It should be appropriate wear for a professional environment.
Okay, makes sense. What you get out is what you put in, I
of
guess.
Of course,
in
absolutely.
In terms of the energy level. When we are looking at the types of jobs that will be offered, and I'm just wondering, you said bigger and better. What's new? What's maybe a trend this year in terms of employers? And they've been coming every year and they're coming back again.
Of course. Well, I have to give a shout out to Glacier Hills Community Living. They're our key sponsor this year. They're doing some wonderful recruiting for all types of healthcare positions. And, you know, they're looking for nurses, nurses aides, CNAs. You name it, they're in the market for it. And they are our key sponsor. They've really kind of stepped up and said, we want to be front and center here. But, you know, with 85 employers, we run the gambit of different types of jobs. So just to give you an idea, you know, Macy's is going to be there, Jacobs Technology, Hertz, FedEx, the City of Detroit, DTE, AJM Packaging, Beaumont Hospital. We've got and so many more that I wish I could name them all. I wish I could go down the list. Now, if you want to find that list, you can go to careers.hfcc.edu and click on our link for that, and you'll get a complete list of employers. And if you can click on that link and find out what they're looking for and what they're recruiting for. There are so many great job opportunities out there, but to single out one or the other is doing a disservice to all of them. This is our big expo. This is the one that we open up to every student on this campus, and we want them, and the public as well, and we want all students to take advantage of it, whether they're a first semester student not even thinking about a job, all the way up to a student who's graduating in December and looking for that first professional opportunity. There's probably going to be someone out there for you at this expo, and we're pretty happy about that.
For those who can't be there, you know, on the day of the expo, obviously there's another 364 days of the year that your office operates. What kind of opportunities do you offer for students? Or I assume this is probably one of the big ones where we invite people from the community to be a part of it. But what kind of other opportunities do you provide?
Well, the Career Services office is open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30, with extended office hours on Tuesdays until 6:30. And that is for all current students. Any student that's currently enrolled can take advantage of it. And the other thing that we're pretty proud of is that if you have ever graduated from Henry Ford College with an associate degree or a certificate, you have access to our services for the rest of your life. So you can stop by 10, 15, 20 years later, and we'll be there to help you. And we want to be an asset for our students and our alumni. So we do a lot of different things throughout the year. We have an electronic job board that we're real happy about called HFC Job Leads. We've got a lot of resources online available for folks to job search. We've got some stuff that we've built ourselves online that is completely unique to Henry Ford College and to the Career Services Office. We do what we can to make sure that when students come in and alumni come in, that we have something to help them. And that might be helping them with exploration of the job market. It might be getting their job search documents ready, all the way up to how to network and how to make that important connection. So we have individuals coming on campus all the time. We have employers that want to have a day just to themselves. So you'll see us in the lobby of the K building, where we have an employer set up. We'll have different individually focused job fairs throughout the year, nursing, health careers, IT, all those get their own specific job fairs. We partner with other colleges for business. We partner with U of M Dearborn for a criminal justice fair. Our goal is to give students as much opportunity and exposure as possible to these different employers that want to hire them.
It sounds like an awfully rewarding job that you have, Chad, being able to do this on a regular basis.
It is very rewarding. It's very busy, but very rewarding.
Yeah, very exciting. Where can people find you specifically if they want to reach out by phone or email or even physically come down in person?
Sure. Well, we're located in A115 on the main campus, A building. Our phone number is 313-845-9618. Or you can always email us at our email address at careers@hfcc.edu. And we have that checked every day by our staff.
Excellent. And then again, one more time, just the particulars of the event, dates, times, and all that good stuff.
Sure. It'll be the 6th Annual Career Expo next Thursday, October 12, 2017, in Building H on our main campus from 3 to 6. Over 85 employers, hopefully hitting that 100 mark, in attendance, looking to hire students, alumni, and the general public for full-time, part-time, seasonal positions. Make sure that you're dressed professionally when you show up at the door, or the mean bald guy, that's me, will be telling you, hey, sorry, can't let you in. So dress your best, bring copies of that resume, work on that strong handshake, look him in the eye, and make a great connection, because that's what we want for you.
Speaking of mean bald guys, when you say Building H, which building is that? What do we call it?
That's the gymnasium on main campus right there.
Excellent. We thank you very much for your time. Much success with the event. We look forward to getting a recap with some success stories, which I know there will be on the other side of this.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Pleasure. Thanks. Chad Austin, Career Services Officer at Henry Ford College. We've got more on the way. Stay with us.
Every day, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air. College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it, too.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Think fast. In the short time it takes to listen to this message, a small flame can turn into a big fire. Several minutes more, and thick, poisonous smoke may have filled your lungs and reduced your ability to respond. Give it 5, and your entire home may be filled with flames.
Keep breathing. We've got you.
Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and practice an escape plan for you and your loved ones. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov, because fire is everyone's fight.
Thanks for staying with us. In this next segment, we're going to get a little bit political, if you will, and I mean that literally and not just metaphorically. We have this vote coming up on November the 7th here in the city of Dearborn, and one of the races is for Dearborn City Council. We are joined at this time by a candidate for city council position, Ms. Leslie Herrick. And Leslie, we have had the pleasure of talking with you before as it relates to events like the Dearborn Homecoming Festival and others, and you've tossed your hat into this ring, and we're excited to find out why. So welcome, first of all, to our airwaves. Nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
Yes, I've been involved in the Dearborn community for a long time, so people might recognize me because of the work that I did at City Hall on the front lines, helping in the Department of Public Information, although that was largely over the phone, unless it was related to those large events that you mentioned. So I've continued my work with the things that I did while at City Hall, but I'm now at the Dearborn Schools and communications there. But consistently, I've been with the Dearborn Community Fund, which partners, it's a nonprofit, partners with the city and the schools and other nonprofits on projects that enhance the quality of life here in Dearborn. Now, one of the projects that the Community Fund is involved with is Homecoming. And the reason that the fund is involved is because Homecoming brings people together from across the city. It reunites families and people that went to school together. And the common underlying theme is arts, culture, recreation, music, and fireworks, bringing people together. You know, people come together over things like food and fireworks, and that's why the Community Fund is involved, is because it unites the community, and because the fund has a history of supporting things that are art-related, like many of the sculptures you see around town. So I've been working with the Community Fund now for 6 years and doing all the fundraising for Homecoming. We raise over $110,000 a year to pay for those fireworks and the music and entertainment that you see there at Homecoming. So that's where a lot of people are familiar with seeing me around town, is in relation to that event in particular, or at the Memorial Day Parade, because I've been involved with that for a number of years as well.
Great. Well, may I ask, where did you grow up and attend school?
I grew up right here in Dearborn. I'm proud that my son, who is now 16, is attending Dearborn High School just like I did. And my family's been involved in a lot of things. Since I was a child, my family was involved in scouting here. And I'm pleased that I've been involved with Troop 1147. And Brendan, my son, earned Eagle Scout this summer at the age of 16. And so that's one of the things I've been involved with here as a volunteer, as well as many other things over the years. But yeah, I grew up right here in Dearborn. I went to Lindbergh Elementary and then a school that's no longer here anymore, Adams Junior High, and then Dearborn High School. And working for the schools, it's kind of fun because in other places at the college, I run into a lot of the people that I went to school with and who have made their roots here, their families here. When people live here, often they may change houses as, you know, their family grows or gets smaller, but we have that kind of longevity with the families that live in Dearborn. And I'm proud that because of my involvement in the community, my friends said, we'd like to see you serve on Dearborn City Council. You roll up your sleeves, you come to the table, you get things done with other people, you collaborate, we think that you would be a good addition to our city council mix. And so that's why I'm running for city council right now. It's a passion of mine. Dearborn's my backyard. And I want to make everything, do everything I can to make the quality of life for my son and my family and friends and neighbors across the city to make a quality of life as best as it can be for our residents here. And I think that the experience that I bring positions me well to do that.
Right. Leslie, you talked about some attributes that one would consider to be very positive as it relates to holding a city council position. How do you understand the position itself, like how the position works, what responsibilities and requirements are of being a city council member? Anywhere, but especially here in Dearborn.
Right. Well, the primary function of the city council is to ensure that the budget is set in place and working with the administration who proposes that budget, but then goes through that budget and then makes sure that the city holds to the budget. The fiscal responsibility is the major component of the city council's job. Beyond that, the city council is involved in many things for the vision and the future of the city, setting ordinances, reviewing the ordinances that are in place. You know, do they make sense for today if they were put in place, say, 30 years ago? And when it comes to laws and ordinances within the city, the city council hears from residents who are either asking for variances, if they're doing a building project, for example, residents or commercial entities that are coming to the city. So the council works hand in hand with the other departments within the city, although it's autonomous. It's been elected, and the other departments in the city are hired and work for the mayor's office.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is especially wonderful and exciting and special about the city of Dearborn?
Dearborn is a unique place for a couple of reasons. First of all, our diversity and the story that often goes untold. And WHFR, I know, is one of the places that does tell our story about how people get along, you know, various backgrounds, ethnicities, ranging from ages to religious backgrounds, people get along side by side in Dearborn, and we make it work because we all have a couple of things in common, no matter where we come from. First and foremost, we want a quality of life. We want a safe environment for ourselves to live in and to raise our families. So no matter where you come from, we have that in common, and we do that really well in Dearborn. And I think that that's kind of an unsung tale often when you go beyond our city's borders. Another thing that makes our city unique is where we're located. You know, we're near an international border. We're near Detroit, a major city, and we have some unique challenges because of that location. I think that first and foremost, the people that live here, again, safety is a priority for everybody that lives here. And we have some challenges because of being near that international border, near the city of Detroit. And I think our police department has done a wonderful job of making people feel safe. There's always room for improvement, though. And one of the things is our residents do want to see more patrols on their streets. And the patrols are out there. You might not see them because you're at work or whatever when they go by. But that is one thing that I think makes people feel better is when they see the police just in their neighborhoods. And our police department has been very good at that. But I think that's one thing that I'd like to see us do more of is more of that community involvement of our police department.
In talking about that as one of the issues, one of the areas you'd like to see improvement upon, are there others? What are some other things in terms of challenges? We with all the positive things that we are as a community, it brings its share of negatives and of challenges as well, because you kind of can't hide that. It's everywhere, whether we like it or not. But what are some of the major issues that you would like to see improved upon, or that you would like to tackle should you have this position?
After the public safety, our business districts are really, we're on the right track. Thank goodness for Ford Motor Company. They are making, you know, multi-million dollar investment here in the city, and everybody I know is very excited about that and the opportunities that it brings. But also, we can't place all our eggs in one basket, and we need to be inviting other businesses here to fill the other storefronts that still remain empty. And we need to be looking at businesses that give our residents additional opportunities to enjoy each other's company with their families and their friends. We have a nice variety of restaurants right here, for example, but we need some more family-friendly, activity-oriented opportunities here. I'd like to see some business, perhaps, like there's Jungle Java out in Canton, where families can go and have a birthday party and have activities. We don't have anything right here in Dearborn anymore that's like that. Another might be, a hotel water park combination, like you see a Great Wolf Lodge up north. We have a lot of visitors who come here from across the country, because we have a couple major museums, the Henry Ford being a major attraction, but we also have the Arab National Museum, Arab American National Museum, that people come here from around the world to experience these museum opportunities. And I think that we have more opportunity to have family-friendly activities here, too. So those are a couple things. The business development, and in particular, things for families who live here as well as those who visit here to enjoy when they come to town.
Okay. Sounds like you're very family-oriented, and having a son, I can understand that. When we talk about leaving the world a better place for our children, leaving our city a better place for our children, can you speak to any of things that you think city government might be able to be involved in as it relates to sustainability, making our environment cleaner and better for the next generation and those to come?
I'm glad that you mentioned the environment in particular. Of the city council candidates that are running right now, I'm not sure how many have been involved in the past in initiatives to protect our environment, but I've been a member of the Sierra Club for longer than, way back when I attended Henry Ford College, as a matter of fact, because I did go to school here. But I've been a member of the Sierra Club for quite a few years. But most recently, I've been involved with going in front of the Department of Environmental Quality to advocate for reduced emissions, so that the factories are not allowed to spew as many toxins into the air. And this is a major concern. Of course, the air is air that all of us breathe, but especially in the south end of Dearborn, we have Salina Elementary School, where, you know, they have an air filtration system on the school itself because they can't open the windows because the air pollution gets so bad at times. And I've been down fighting to protect our air quality, and I'm going to be proud to continue to do that. And that's not something that's a responsibility of the city council, per se. Of course, the city gets involved in the negotiations with businesses and bringing businesses here. But that's a passion of mine because of having, you know, family here myself. But because nobody should have to live in an environment where, you know, they're seeing these smokestacks and the kids are playing in the playground. If we can do anything to provide a better quality of life for them, we should be doing that.
All right. Leslie Herrick is joining us, and she is running for city council here in Dearborn for the race that you have a say in if you're a registered voter in the city of Dearborn, voting on November the 7th. Any other thoughts on that particular issue?
Well, we were talking about quality of life and air quality, but also our green spaces, our walkability, our bikeability. We're on the right track. We just installed bikes that you can rent if you're living here or visiting here, which are really neat, and we're looking at marking more bike lanes on roads. We've got the wonderful trail that leads from Michigan Avenue, New Brady, and it goes across to University of Michigan Dearborn property. And so we've got students who go from West Dearborn to get to campus on bike and on foot, and lots of families who use that trail. So extensions of those kinds of trails is something that I would like to see, you know, throughout the city to make it more bikeable and walkable.
Nice. Leslie, as we kind of wrap up here, a couple of additional questions. If you could kind of summarize in why you think voters should vote for you. There are lots of options, lots of choices out there. And why is it that you feel that you are deserving of this vote?
In addition to having grown up here and having a passion that most of the candidates have about their city, I have the experience of having worked at City Hall, having been at the table with the folks in the different departments working on projects like Homecoming, but other projects as well when I was working in the Department of Public Information and also with the Community Fund. I worked with the Dearborn Schools. Now, the schools is a separate budget, of course, but this is all one city, and we need to collaborate and work together on projects as often as possible to enhance the quality of life here. I've already been doing that, so my running for office is just an extension of both the professional work that I've talked about, as well as my longtime volunteerism. One example of the things that I've worked on as a volunteer, in addition to the Sierra Club, which I did mention, the Dearborn Education Foundation. I served on their board of directors for a number of years, raising funds for things that the regular school budget doesn't pay for, because as cliche as it might sound, you know, our youth is our future. And so I've dedicated a lot of time between working with the Education Foundation. I've been involved with Vista Maria over the years, as well as cultural programmings through the Dearborn Community Arts Council, the Dearborn Symphony, that kind of thing. Again, because music and cultural activities and recreational activities bring people together. No matter what street you grew up on, no matter what language you speak, no matter how young or old you are, these are the things that bring families together and it brings communities together. I've already been doing that, and I'd like to continue to do that on a deeper level to make sure that the quality of life that we offer here for our residents, as well as those anybody who chooses to come live, work, or play here, that they have the best quality of life possible.
Well, thank you. If someone wants to reach you for more information, how might they do that?
I have a website. It's Leslie Herrick for Dearborn, F-O-R, Leslie Herrick for Dearborn.com. And my email address is the same, Leslie Herrick for Dearborn @gmail.com. But I also welcome people to text me or give me a call at 313-303-3263. And for anybody who has not had a chance to meet me, if I haven't made it to knocking on your door, I welcome you to attend a fundraiser that I'm having at Baba's Grill this coming Thursday, on Thursday, October 12th, from 5 until 7 p.m. And that's Baba's Grill right at the corner of Maple and Michigan Avenue. Come on out and have some wonderful Middle Eastern food and say hello, because I'd love to meet you. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. And I should mention, Leslie participated in the forum that took place in the city of Dearborn earlier this week. So podcasts and videos are going to be made available, as I understand, of that particular event on the city of Dearborn website. And as we get more information on when that's loaded, we'll certainly let our listeners know as well. Leslie, much success to you. We thank you for your service thus far, and we look forward to hearing more from you.
Thank you so much, Susan.
A pleasure. Thank you. Leslie Herrick joining us at this time. Stay with us. We've got more to go right here on the new WHFR Journal.
The WHFR Annual Record Show is just around the corner, and we are accepting applications for vendors. Our 10th Annual Record Show is taking place on Saturday, October 21st, on the campus of Henry Ford College, and this is your chance to be part of it. If you're a vendor selling tapes, CDs, or vinyl records, or if you have other related items such as memorabilia or handcrafted goods, then you too can set up a shop for a day at this very popular and well-attended event. All the information, including a copy of the vendor contract, is available on our website, WHFR.fm. Just click on the record show icon for all the information. If you have any questions, you can email us at whfr@hfcc.edu. The WHFR Annual Record Show is Saturday, October 21st, so reserve your vendor table now.
Welcome back. This is the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw. And truly, as we're into, well, starting the month of October, tis the season. Elections coming up right around the corner. We should mention that, obviously, Leslie Herrick, who's running for city council, who was with us, and any political discussion that we have, those are the opinions of the guests and or hosts, not necessarily those of Henry Ford College, its board of trustees, and its students, I guess, for that matter as well. But really is, this will be a very interesting election season, right, Susan?
Absolutely. Lots of options, a lot of choices for people to make in the city of Dearborn, especially. We have an opportunity through the League of Women Voters to get as accurate of information as is possible. And that's not just for this community, but any communities. You can certainly go to the League of Women Voters website, vote411.org. Again, vote411.org. And you can type in your zip code and it will give you all of the candidates and actually the sample ballots in some cases for the information that you have to look at or that you should as a responsible citizen and a registered voter look at before you go in on November 7th and make your choices. For Dearborn City Council, it looks like we've got 14 candidates running. And
how many seats are they
yes,
working on?
Up to seven. Okay. They say choose seven candidates, and so that's virtually cutting the pool in half. Mm-hmm. Which is that's interesting odds, 50-50 shot, I guess, for everybody.
Well,
if you think
and,
of it.
And we do invite people. You know, obviously Leslie, responded to our invitation. But if there are other candidates, who can they get in touch with to make their voice heard as they begin the election process?
Absolutely,
here?
Absolutely. And most actually tend to reach out to us first. So just as we've mentioned in the past few shows, please, if you're interested in being interviewed, we want to make sure that you have equal time here in the month of October, some limited time frames with which we do our recording and so on, but we would love to have you come on and talk about your reasons for running for office, etc. So reach out to me, Susan McGraw, at 313-845-9842, 313-845-9842, or you can email me at scmcgraw, M-C-G-R-A-W, at hfcc.edu. Again, S.C. McGraw at hfcc.edu. And that goes certainly for the city council candidates. We have Dearborn City Clerk. We have two candidates running. Of course, you can vote for one. And then the big one is the mayoral
election, right?
Course.
Yeah, absolutely.
So lots of variety in terms of options, particularly for city council. But to me, that makes for a more spirited race, and it's always exciting.
All right. The new WHFR Journal. We're going to move from politics to one of my other favorite spectator sports, and that's high school football, when we talk to Josh Hebert coming up next. Stick around.
WHFR is a non-commercial radio station that features multiple music formats and talk variety. Our programming is as diverse as our staff of volunteer DJs because they all curate their own shows. Since WHFR is a non-commercial station, we are able to provide airplay to independent artists, including many who are local to the Detroit area. That means that you get a chance to hear great music that other radio stations won't play. And that is why we are the station that is making waves.
Hi, this is Go-Mike Holloway inviting you to ride with me, baby. Every Friday afternoon, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. with only the best in rock and blues just for you. Right here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Woo! Ooh, we're pretty, baby. Let's take a ride tonight. We'll have a lot of fun, everything gonna be all right. I'm in love with you, baby, before I learn to call your name. In love. Well, ride with me, baby, ride with me.
Thanks for staying with us. This is the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here, and our new segment that we like to incorporate in this talk programming involves sports. And if you've been listening for the past few weeks, you're already waiting for this and anxiously looking forward to the updates on what's happening in our local sports scene. Josh Hebert is here, and he is a student of Henry Ford College, the telecommunication program, involved in the student newspaper in sports writing. Yeah. And we hope working towards his very own sports talk and commentary show with our sports team at WHFR. Josh, you've got some updates for us. Love to hear them.
Yeah, I do. Last week, Dearborn and Edsel Ford took on each other in a inner-city rivalry game where Edsel Ford came out on top 29-21. Later tonight, Dearborn will welcome in Fordson, who is looking to punch their ticket to the playoffs this year after losing last week to Belleville 35-7. Then on the other hand, we have Edsel Ford, who is coming down the stretch in their final few games in their current conference as they take on Crestwood. Both teams are coming off wins last week, where Crestwood beat Garden City 21-7. Then you have Divine Child this week.
Yay.
In there. Last week they did lose 52-14 to De La Salle, and Divine Child will look to punch their ticket later tonight to the playoffs when they host Ann Arbor Gabriel Richard. And then, of course, you have Alan Puck taking on crosstown rival Lincoln Puck later tonight in the Battle of Dixon-Champaign, as it's called around that area. And you also have Melvindale traveling into Taylor to take on Kennedy in what will be one of their last games as a school.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, Kennedy and Truman are actually going to start a merger next year where they will have all the students from Taylor all in Truman, and Kennedy will be leaving as a school and out of the Downriver League, and Edsel Ford is going to be taking their place in that conference.
Got it. Okay. Any hot picks on your end? Any predictions? Any special game you think we really want to try to get out and see? Because certainly local sports are inexpensive.
Yeah.
They're a blast.
They are.
Often there is a band, and that's what I like, really, the music and the cheerleaders and all that kind of fun stuff. The concessions are usually inexpensive and yummy. So it's not like those big sports teams down the road a little bit that cost a fortune and so on. And these are the players that we want to support.
Yeah.
This is our community. So what do you think?
I am going to say I do think Edsel Ford is going to beat Crestwood later tonight. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Dearborn will upset Fordson. And then, of course, being a graduate of Alan Puck, but also being a coach at Lincoln Park High School, I am going to go off and say I do think Alan Puck is going to pull out the victory over Lincoln Park tonight.
Okay, we'll see what happens. This is the first time we've asked you for actual predictions, so if you get them all right, we'll keep doing it. If you don't, well, we'll just retire that little segment.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Josh.
Yeah,
we
no problem. Thank
update.
You for having me.
Okay, we've got more on the way. This is the new WHFR Journal. Lots to talk about. Stay with us.
College Radio Day is coming on Friday, October 6th.
Throughout the country, hundreds of college radio stations will be participating in this national celebration.
College Radio serves more than just the students on campus, but serves entire communities too.
This year, we celebrate the important connection that College Radio has with the local communities they serve.
Often, it is College Radio that gives a voice to those who are rarely heard anywhere else.
College Radio cares.
Join us for College Radio Day 2017.
Passionately vocal.
Seriously local.
For more information, please go to collegeradio.org.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the new WHFR Journal here on WHFR Dearborn, WHFR.FM, the station that's making waves. Wrapping up today's edition, following our sports report there, another thing we forgot to mention during our sports report, and it's not an everyday occurrence that a high school athlete's jersey is retired, but Star Academy, Star International Academy over in Dearborn Heights, retired the jersey of one of their players, Muhammad Woodwood, who wore the jersey of number 79 as a player at the school. He drowned in an accident in Cass Lake in Waterford back over the summer. It was in July. The entire team has dedicated their season to him and obviously took the opportunity recently to retire his jersey. So obviously condolences to his family and our support to the entire Star International Academy community for what Muhammad meant to the team, and also the fact that they're memorializing him by retiring his jersey. Also, we want to mention, after our political discussion, this coming up on CDTV, City of Dearborn TV, we mentioned the League of Women Voters and their website, vote411.org. They will have Dearborn candidate forums available to watch online on CDTV October 16th to November 7th. The League of Women Voters of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights and the Dearborn Area Board of Realtors host separate Dearborn candidate forums that will air on CDTV for several weeks leading up to the general election, which takes place just about a month from now on Tuesday, November 7th. The forums are also going to be able for be available for on-demand viewing at cityofdearborn.org starting on October 16th, so that's just about 2 weeks from now. The first forum hosted by the League of Women Voters took place just a couple of days ago on Tuesday at City Council Chambers in the Dearborn Administrative Center, and other forums will continue to take place. Mayoral Forum is going to air on CDTV on Monday, October 16th, 23rd, the 30th, and November 6th at 11 a.m., and then other forums throughout the week there. And then, of course, there will be other forums that are taking place over the course of the next few months. For more information, you can go to cityofdearborn.org, find the link for CDTV, and get the information there. You've been listening to the new WHFR Journal here on WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. Stay tuned. We've got all sorts of great stuff coming up. Highway 61 with your host Kitty Love coming up in just a few minutes here on WHFR. Thanks for listening.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Chelsea Marie. I host Dinner with Chelsea. College radio is important to me because it allowed me the opportunity for hands-on learning in a real FM radio station. Working at a college radio station has given me experience working in all aspects of radio.
This is WHFR Dearborn.
Listen.
Mexico.